Love Talk Radio.
And hey, let us run some people for a whole time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeshua, the mind of Christ, the mind of truth, bring us together, bring us together. I think more than anything in our country, in our world, we need unity, because the powers that be, that never sleep, the evil ones, are always planning to bring division, division and hate and racism and all that. So if we're going to overcome the evil ones on the planet, we have to have unity. So we're going to work on that tonight even, because change is the only constant. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Change your internal environment, change your external environment, and we will influence the world. Yes, we will. Now, I want to start tonight, and welcome, Regina Green. Hi, Regina. Regina says, let's see what Regina says. Great being, beloved, from West Metro Atlanta, Burbs. Ooh, and what a beautiful picture. Oh, wow. Thank you, Regina, for joining us. Invite your friends, because we're going to talk a lot about change tonight. Change. And I have had a very interesting relationship with a butterfly, in particular a monarch butterfly. This has been really, this month, which is coming to an end, for me, the most important encounter I've had is with two monarch butterflies. They're rare, you know. So what happened is I was helping a friend clean her front patio, and a butterfly landed on the wall right where I was cleaning. I'm like dusting her chair and doing it, and this beautiful monarch butterfly lands on the wall. And I call her. I called her and said, come here, there's a monarch butterfly here. And she looks it up, and the main message was transformation, okay? So next time I speak to her like a week later, and she said, guess what? I found a dead monarch butterfly on the back patio. So this is from the front to the back of her house, a dead monarch butterfly. So she takes the monarch butterfly, puts it on her prayer altar. 2 weeks later, I'm at her house. I'm cleaning her back patio, another dead or at least lifeless monarch butterfly. What's going on here? And she swears she did not see that butterfly in her patio, which is screened in. So the mystery is, how did that butterfly get in a screened-in patio? So she takes that butterfly and puts it on the altar. So now there's two monarch butterflies on her altar, and I'm there at her house every 2 weeks or so. So next thing I know, the following week, she calls me and says, you won't believe this. But I was sitting on my sofa, and we were looking at these butterflies, and one of them started moving. What the? I mean, I know when I picked up that butterfly, there was no life in that butterfly. But when she put it on her prayer altar, the butterfly came alive. So I thought it would be really fun for us to start out this evening overstanding the meaning of the butterfly. And I have this short video I found on YouTube that gives us the description from the caterpillar to the beautiful butterfly. What is that process? Because that's what we're going through. We've been crawling around, scribbling and scrambling and struggling for the last, whatever years you've been struggling. And now it's time to become a butterfly, I think. That is what the message I'm getting. It's time for transformation. It's time for change. So that's why our show tonight is about change your environment, change your life. So we're going to hear from Bruce Lipton tonight, who's one of my favorite authors and one of my favorite metaphysical spiritual teachers. But let's watch this beautiful and listen to, for those of you in Blog Talk Radio, you're going to listen. But if you come on Facebook, Soul Purpose Healing, you can watch this beautiful lesson. You can watch this beautiful lesson on what happens when the caterpillar, what is going on when the caterpillar is transforming or in the process of becoming a butterfly, because I believe it represents us. We are the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Some of you may have already blossomed into butterflies, but we're going to look at this beautiful transformation of the from the caterpillar to the butterfly. So let's do that. Start this video and then start the audio. Let's see. Environment. Caterpillar to the butterfly.
Hey, 42 here. The humble caterpillar is one of the most mind-shatteringly incredulous creatures on planet Earth. There's so much more to this chubby worm than meets the eye. If there was a prize for the animal most likely to be a Pokemon, then this suave fella would take gold, because it evolves not once, but twice, first from a larva to a caterpillar, then finally into a beautiful butterfly. Actually, it's so like a Pokemon, it already is one. But how does a living, organic thing metamorphosize so consistently and so perfectly into a completely different creature of an entirely different shape and size? You may be either grossed out when I tell you this or totally amazed, but inside the chrysalis, the caterpillar completely liquidizes, turning into a mush of gooey proteins and fibers, and it slowly reforms into a butterfly over 10 days. We'll talk more about metamorphosis later, but first, let's start from the beginning of this incredible insect life cycle, because this amazing insect has so many secrets up its sleeve, or wings, that you're not going to want to miss any of it. A female butterfly will first find a nice looking tree and lay its tiny eggs on the underside of the tree or plant's leaves. Each egg contains a tiny, tiny caterpillar larva. But the mother is extremely picky about which plant gets to play host to her eggs. Each different species of butterfly uses a different species of plant to lay their eggs on, and only that plant. This is all made a thousand times more complicated when you consider that there are over 20,000 species of butterfly in the world. The egg is the size of a pinhead, and the mother will lay 500 eggs at a time. It then takes 4 days for the egg to hatch. By this point, the larva is freaking starving, so it eats its way out of its own egg. Then it eats the rest of the eggshell as well. It also eats the entire leaf it's on, and it will probably have a good go at the leaf next to it as well. This first meal is very dangerous, because the various sticky residues found inside some species of leaves can cause the caterpillar larva's mouth to gum up. Many caterpillars will die from this. If it does survive this great feast, then all this sustenance gives the greedy little fella energy to grow into several times its size. It will then take a break to shed its first layer of skin. The caterpillar will then spend the next week eating leaves and growing into a full-sized caterpillar. Once fully grown, this ravenous tyrant can eat a full leaf in under an hour. Once the caterpillar has gotten all nice and fat, it prepares for the big change. It finds a nice, quiet spot underneath a branch and spins itself a silk button to attach itself to the underside of the branch. Other species get even fancier and spin a fine silk harness that they sit inside. And now begins the magic trick. It's commonly thought that the caterpillar now mates its chrysalis, also known as a pupa, but not a cocoon, that's something else. But it doesn't make it. It in fact grows this hardened shell underneath its top layer of skin in the week leading up to its metamorphosis. So, when the time comes, all it has to do is shed its top layer of skin and its protective pupa is all ready for the transformation to begin. But the caterpillar has another sneaky magic trick up its sleeve. To disguise itself from predators, the pupa will change its colour to exactly match that of whatever is behind it. And so, the transformation begins, taking roughly 2 weeks to turn from a furry slug into a beautiful winged insect. But if you were able to see inside the pupa whilst this is taking place, you might be rather horrified. The transformation begins with the caterpillar releasing digestive enzymes to eat itself alive, effectively turning itself into a soup. Yuck. If you were to cut open a pupa at the right time during metamorphosis, a goo would ooze out. But this magic goo contains everything needed to create a butterfly, and that is rather incredible. But not every cell liquefies. Certain groups of highly organized cells remain as solids within the soup. Over the course of 2 weeks, this caterpillar curry slowly turns into a butterfly broth and then into an actual butterfly, all from a gooey liquid. It's such an incredible phenomenon that scientists still aren't quite sure how this liquid organizes itself into a butterfly. What's so amazing about all of this is that everything about the creature changes during the transformation. Its shape, its taste, how it eats, how it moves, and how it senses. Yet, the butterfly is still able to remember its life as a caterpillar. You would think that your brain being turned into a soup, then reshaped into a completely new brain, would erase all of your memories. But a recent study showed that butterflies were able to remember the solution to a puzzle that they were taught how to solve when they were a caterpillar, meaning some of the synaptic connections in the caterpillar's brain must survive the supification, making the humble caterpillar one of the true wonders of the natural world. Thanks for watching. Some photos can tell rich, detailed stories. Others inspire a thousand questions. But there's an...
to hear from you if you have any comments about that amazing process that the butterfly goes through. There is such evidence watching that of divine order, divine timing. And to me, that is the picture of what people call G-O-D. That is the creator in action with timing, with love, with beauty. Oh my goodness, when you see a monarch butterfly, you're just in awe at the colors and the shape and all that. So that's what we're going through right now. We're going through this metamorphosis, this pupa. And for the last 3 years, we've had this difficult time in the chrysalis. We had to shut down. We had to be quiet because the powers that be were allowed to shut us down, okay? So on one level, they were allowed to shut us down and promote a fear of a virus. But on another level, the creator of the beautiful butterfly said, all right, you people need to shut down now. You just need to shut down because nature didn't stop, but people had to stop. So I hope you're just joining us. We just watched a video of a butterfly transformation from the caterpillar to that beautiful creature with wings. And I'm suggesting to you that's what we're all going through right now, because we had this period in the chrysalis or the pupa where we were stuck and we were constricted and we had to remain still and we were frustrated. And I'm sure that's what that beautiful caterpillar had to go through. And then we're coming out now as butterflies. This is the year, 2023 is our year to come out as a beautiful butterfly. And as I said, I had two butterflies this month, two monarch butterflies show up and speak to me of their metamorphosis, transformation, and my alert to be ready to transform. Now, I want to keep going in this first half hour and bring you into my favorite teacher, Bruce Lipton. Bruce Lipton wrote this book called The Biology of Belief. And I read this book so long ago, even today, people are beginning to listen to him and alert. Now, and we're talking about changing our environment. And right, the reason I bring Bruce Lipton up in this book, because his chapter in this book, chapter 2, is It's the Environment, Stupid, taken from the Clinton campaign about it was the economy, stupid. But here's what he says, what he learned as a biological or as a scientist, a microscopic scientist. He says, he's talking about the art of cloning stem cells. And he told the cultured cells you're studying, you look first to the cell's environment, not to the cell itself, for the cause and the formation and all that of the stem cells. And he goes on in this chapter and say, scientists who follow Darwin continue to make the same error. The problem with this underemphasis on the environment. And it's a victim of, and we're not a victim of heredity, but this is a genes control biology notion that was presented. And it's not a truth. It was a hypothesis that wasn't true. So he brings out in this book epigenetics, where we look at not the genes, but above the genes. And so listen to one of the audios from Bruce. We've got several teachings from Bruce tonight. He talks about, real quick, what is a healthy environment?
Well, I could live in a perfectly healthy, happy environment that will support me. But if I perceive it's a negative environment, then my cells inside my body do not know that it is a healthy environment. They only see the perception that I send to them. And this is why perception becomes so important, is because the cells are not directly touching the environment and depend on the nervous system's interpretation to adjust their biology. So if I change my perception, my mind, change my belief about life, I change the signals that are going in and adjusting the function of the cell. The point is very, very significant, and that is this. I'm not a victim of my genes, because I, by my ability to change my environment and by my ability to change my perception of the environment, have the ability to control my genetic activity. I'm not a victim of my heredity. I'm a master of my genetic activity.
So let us begin to think about that, that I'm a master of my perceptions of what my environment are. In other words, we're not victims. We're not victims at all. We can't be held hostage in this body to say, well, because I was born with a dark skin or because I was born to parents who had diabetes and blah, 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 blah. No, you are you have the choice every day to take control of your environment. So I'm going to go to a video. Before we go to the break, I want to show you this very powerful video of a man who traveled in a boat across the ocean and how he looked at his environment. This was so interesting. And he says how, and he talks about how your environment impacts your outcomes in life. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, that's the one. How your environment impacts. So this is a beautiful video of a man traveling in a boat and what happened to him, something many of us don't do. Because we just don't have the money or whatever. We have make excuses, but his story, he's an Irishman. So that's my family line. My mother's side of the family, I have Irish background. So this guy showed up in my YouTube, and I guess maybe he's relative or something. I don't know. But let's listen to this. It's a short description of his journey traveling in a boat, looking over water. I just love the story of looking over the water and what he discovered about the environment. So here we go.
I want you to imagine that you're out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean right now. You're sitting on this small rowing boat, you're 1,000 miles from land, and you can't make any progress. You're stuck on sea anchor, you can't row into this wind and this swell, so you just have to wait. The only person with you is your rowing partner, so the two of you have to ride out the storm and wait for it to pass. When it finishes, one of you will get out and you'll row for 2 hours. You'll do that, then you'll come in, and then the other person will go out for 2 hours. And you'll do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for as long as it takes to get across the Atlantic Ocean. When I spent 85 days out in the ocean, in the Atlantic, you quickly realize the power of the environment around you and the impact it has on your mindset. And the concept of mindset was brought home to me very, very quickly. When I decided I wanted to row across the Atlantic, the first people I contacted were the only Irish people who had ever done this, Eamon and Peter Kavanagh. And I'll never forget the first time I met Eamon. He said, Paul, trying to row across the Atlantic has nothing got to do with how much ocean experience you have. He said, it's also, believe it or not, nothing got to do with how good a rower you are, but it's everything to do with how mentally tough you are, your mindset. I said, Eamon, it's just as well, because I've never been out in a boat before and I can't row. And boy, was he right. When we got out onto the ocean and Your routine, if you like, is 2 hours on, 2 hours off. So I row for 2 hours, Tori, my rowing partner, would rest, and then she'd jump in and she'd row for 2 hours. And you very, very quickly realize the power of the environment that you're in. So there's the macro parts of the environment, so the strength of the wind, the sheer force of the swell, and at times the absolute sort of veracity of what you're in. And you can't control that. But you also realize there's small, micro elements of your environment, the things you can control. So how I would engage in conversation with Tori, what I choose to read, what I choose to listen to, how I process my thoughts. And these became really, really powerful to impact our overall environment. Because as I said, our environment was going to affect our mindset, which was also going to affect how we behave and how we perform. So let me give you an example of one of them. About 20 minutes after I took this picture, Tori was rowing and I was off shift in the cabin. And I just heard this crunch, a pretty big wave, picked the boat right up on our side. We didn't capsize, but we went right over 90 degrees. I got thrown across the cabin. Tori was on the oars and she got flung violently off the side of the boat. And she cracked two of her ribs. So I jumped out and I grabbed her and I brought her inside. And she was quite shaken up and she was in tears. And I was quite shaken up too. I said, would you like a letter? She said, I'd love one. So what we'd done before the trip is I contacted Tori's family and friends in Ireland and in Canada, Tori's Canadian, and she had done the same for me. And I said, I want you to write Tori a letter. Now put into it whatever you want, but the context under which I'm going to give it to her is it's meant to be a bit of a pick-me-up if she's having a bad day. So in this instance, I started reading a letter from her father. And as I started reading the letter, she wiped the tears away and she started smiling. I thought, great, this is working perfectly. However, as I read down through the end of the letter, I looked up and she was in tears again and she just waved at me, said, Paul, stop, I can't hear anymore. I think there was just too much emotion in the letter. I said to her, hang on a second, her dad's quite sarcastic and he put a little PS in it. He said, PS, be nice to the little Irish fella, you might have to eat him. And I'm sort of glad you laughed there because that's exactly what she did. And it had this immediate effect on her. And I could see these little things. We realized how powerful they could be to control the environment to an extent. When you think about the environment that we all have in our lives right now, the people in our life affect our mindset, good, bad, sometimes maybe neutral. When I was growing up, my mother used to always say to me, there's no such thing as can't, and it used to drive me nuts. So if I couldn't figure out how to do something, Mom, I can't do this. She said, Paul, there's no such thing as can't. And I'd sort of go off in a sulk and I'd try and figure out to do whatever it is I was doing. This sort of came back to bite her in the ass a couple of years later when I told her I wanted to row across the Atlantic. The first thing she said to me was, Paul, you can't do that, don't be daft. I was like, Mom, there's no such thing as can't. But if you liked it, this mantra, if I could call it that, of Mom, it had a really powerful effect on my mindset growing up. I didn't realize it at the time. And another component, most of us here tonight probably have a phone in our pocket. Another element of our environment is technology and how it impacts us. When we were out in the Atlantic, we had a satellite phone with us. That was the only piece of communication technology. And some of you might know satellite phones are very expensive to make calls on it, so we didn't use it that much. But we turned it on once or twice a day to get a text message. And it was nearly one of the highlights of the day because you turn the phone on and you get a message maybe from family or friends or sometimes people you didn't even know. And also we get a weather forecast. And I remember turning on the phone one day and I was all excited to see how many messages we might have got. 5 or 6 would be a good day. And I was sort of deflated because we only had one. I thought, oh. And my mood went from a little bit of deflation to absolute fear and panic when I turned on the message because it was a weather forecast and it just said hurricane warning Epsilon. And Epsilon was the name of the hurricane. So, you know, whether it's a piece of technology, whether it's the people in our lives, the one thing I learned from this experience or other adventures that I've done is the environment that we have around us has a massive impact on our mindset. And the mindset from a knock-on point, that affects how we behave every single day. In the work that I do, when I'm working with clients, often I get, you know, I don't have time for this, or I can't make time for that. And of course, we're all time challenged, I get that. But probably one of the biggest gifts I've gotten from these trips is that, you know what, someday the sun will set on all of us. I don't know how long I've got. The clock is ticking, but make use of the time I have because I'll never get it back. And if I was to think that I have my activities and my behaviors here every day and they affect the outcomes that I'm going to get in life, if I accept that my mindset will play a role in how I behave, I think most of us would accept that's probably reasonably accurate. If I then take a step above that and think of my environment, so if you think of your environment, the people in your lives, where you work, who you work with, what you read, what you listen to, what you choose to listen to, the people you choose to listen to, all of that environment has a massive, massive effect on mindset. So I was told earlier on today that it's a good idea maybe to have a call to action and have a suggestion. one of the things I'm very aware of is that if I make a small tweak in my environment, it could be where I work, it could be the people I spend time with, it could be how I spend an hour in the evening, it can have a very significant effect on mindset. And over a period of time, these small things add up. We would have done 2,500 strokes every 2 hours on the Atlantic. If you were to plot where you go with that, it's nothing. It's the width of a fingertip on a map. So you'd never really do it. But over time, these small little accumulations, they build up to something a bit more significant, which in this case was us making it across the Atlantic. Thank you.
So how many of you would even consider rowing a boat across the Atlantic? That takes a lot of courage for one. But as he said, a small tweak in your environment can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're talking about tonight, changing our environment, whether it's the street you live on, the land you live on, or a city block that you live on, or even going inside and tweaking something as simple as the way you eat your food, the environment that you're in when you're eating your food. All of those things are going to make a difference in terms of whether you're going to metamorphosize into that butterfly that we all reaching for this year. 2023 is our year to be this great, grand butterfly, beautiful creature, and bring about a change in our lives. Because when we individually make the change, then we're going to see this whole world change. I'm looking for Naima Latif. I don't see your regular number, so press 1. Naima Latif, if you're in the studio and you're ready for commercials, press 1. Otherwise, I have a caller. Let's see. I have a caller with the hand raised. Let me go to this caller while we wait for Naima Latif. 706-202. I believe that's Brother Sunhorse. Welcome, my brother.
Greetings, Sister Viata, and excellent show, you know, and first clip you did about the butterfly and the chrysalis and the whole transformation from the caterpillar to the butterfly. And in that part of, and I didn't hear it, but there's a thing that happens with this, and he spoke about it too in there, talking about the sun, is that the caterpillar spins its cocoon and it hangs it in the branch facing east to west, because it takes the sunlight that travels each day to heat that cocoon with the caterpillar in it to make it that transformation from the caterpillar to the butterfly. That is the energy that feeds into that cocoon in order for that caterpillar to make that transformation. And it's in that light of the sun each day that we sunrise to sunset. And he says that important part, you've wasted that part of the environment that you're in the sunlight. And wherever you are in the light of a day, it's how you utilize that energy that comes from the sun in the environment in which you're in. And so it's very important, because we're right now in I think it was 2019, we have what's called the solar minimum and the solar max, and we're going into the solar maximum. And this is where the sun is emitting higher and higher frequencies coming off the sun as we journey, as we turn towards and turn away from the sun. We're getting that energy, and it's in order that we here on the planet receive the necessary frequency from the sun and the alignment of the planets in order to get the frequencies for that metamorphosis. Each day we metamorphose. Each day we change from sunrise to sunset. It's how we utilize and what environment we put our bodies in. Also, Bruce Lipton talks about, and he's also a geneticist, in which he teaches about how to reprogram our genes. It's very important how we can program our genes, that we may have genes that from epigenetics that there were things in which, but you can reprogram those genes to make that transformation, that those genes will not move into the next generation. So what we're understanding is how we can reprogram this, and this is the part of what we're doing, moving from a Homo sapien to a Homo spiritus. It's the genetics that we're working with, and what we're having is the interference of the EMFs that are causing these malfunctions in our genetic makeup. And we have to begin to know how to protect, how to eat right. We have to know what environments to be in. This is why we have nature deficit disorder, because we have to come back to the frequency of nature, and the frequency of 432 hertz is what nature has in the forest. And we have to get back into that in order to have that help that we need to reprogram us for the next level of our evolution. And the word evolution only means know it you love, and how you understand how to love you in the right way. So I think it's a good show that you're having.
Thank you. So I love that description you just gave us, because, again, as I started, there's so much divine energy in the process, not only of the butterfly, but in us. And as he said, just a small tweak in the environment, this environment that we are living in this body or in our own personal environment, can make a big difference. So thank you so much for sharing that, because we can begin to see that we don't have to do a whole lot to change our life. It's really more, and we're going to hear more from Bruce Lipton, as Brother Kwame pointed out, about the changing mind, how our thoughts change mind. So you gave his book on belief.
No, I was saying about Bruce Lipton. He does some excellent comments. Dawson Church has a book. It's called The Genie in Your Genes. And he talks about the genie in our genes, and being able to go into our genes and reprogram, rub that gene and make that genie come out to make that transformation, to give you those three wishes of change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. My executive producer is MIA, so I'm going to just play one commercial, and we'll be right back to hear some more really good teaching from Bruce Lipton. Thank you so much, Brother Kwame.
The end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the.
Oops, that's the wrong one. Sorry. We'll go back.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
So we're back at one quick commercial, and we are going to go into another teaching by Bruce Lipton, my favorite conscious scientist, and we're going to learn a little bit more about the power of your thoughts. And that's when we're changing our environment, changing our life, We have to take into consideration, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? It's so important. And Bruce is going to help us understand the power of our thoughts.
Once I feed you with an idea that you are susceptible to something, look, I can feed you with an idea that this pill that we just got from the pharmaceutical company, it's the greatest, best thing for your issue. And I give you this pill and you get better. And then later you find out it was a sugar pill and everybody goes, yeah, that's called the placebo effect. And I go, what does it really mean? I said, you didn't get healed by the pill. You got healed by the belief in the pill. And I go, well, yeah, that's what placebo is all about. And at least one third, minimum of one third of all medical intervention is it's a placebo effect, that where the healing comes from. Everybody goes, yeah, I know about the placebo. I go, yeah, but that's a result of positive thinking. What about negative thinking? And this is what we don't talk about, but the reality is it's equally powerful in regard to affecting your biology as is positive thinking, but it works in the opposite direction. A negative thought is called the nocebo effect. Can cause any disease, and you can die. If you believe you're going to die, you can die from the belief. So we really have to watch out, because a psychologist would tell us 70% or more of our thoughts are negative and redundant, replaying the same negative thoughts. I go, if thoughts had nothing to do with it, fine. But thoughts, positive or negative, shape our biology. And all of a sudden it says, well, now it's time to wake up, because our negative thinking is manifesting a negative life experience. The only problem is this: when you invest so much money into a belief system, and then a belief system isn't really right, you try to hold on as long as you can, because if you spend hundreds of billions of dollars in this belief, you don't want to just, oh, okay, we'll just change it. So it's a struggle, but the reality is coming forward, and the public is just becoming aware of it, and it's a revolution, because, as I said, if you believe genes control your life, you're a victim of your heredity.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, when I say genetic control, that's the belief that genes control our characters. When I say epigenetic control, almost sounds the same, but epi means above. So when I say epigenetic control, literally it's control above the genes. And this is what we now recognize, that the environment, and very specifically our perception of the environment, changes our genetic activity. So that means, well, wait, that's not a victim, because I can change my environment, I can change my perception, and all of a sudden, if I can do that, then I can control my genes. Well, we're going from victim to mastery. So when parents have one child, they raise it like the first child. Okay, I raise the child this way. After that, if they have a second child, well, they already have all the different experiences of having a child. So they raise the second child different than they did the first child, et cetera, to the third. What's the point is, well, I can start with the same genetics, like my stem cells, same genetics, but it's the environment in which the genes are found that will determine the character and expression. Now, what people have to understand about epigenetics is it changes the reading of the gene. It does not change the gene. If you're born with gene X, you're always going to have gene X, but how will it express itself? And I go, well, it depends on your life and your character, your behavior, your environment. It's genes plus environment. If it was just genes, I would be able to tell you exactly here's what's going to happen. But most of that is changeable by how you live and where you live. So you got about 7 major diseases, only one gene. If you got that gene, and the gene card shows it, okay, you know, you got that gene, you're going to deal with it. All the other diseases are multiple genes. Cancer is a minimum of 12 to 14 genes, so it's not an accident. You can't change one gene and get cancer. You have to change 12 to 14 genes, and all of a sudden, then probability is a chance. It's like, no, we are creating a cancer. And we can uncreate a cancer. People have spontaneous remissions, but they change it not by changing their biology, but by changing their mind. Hi, dear friends, cultural creatives and seekers everywhere. Bruce here with a very important distinction to be made, and that is about the nature of epigenetics and the environment. What do I mean by this? Well, I understood the nature of epigenetics back in the late 60s, early 70s, about how the environment of the cells were controlling the genetics of that cell. And it took up until the 90s before conventional science accepted this and actually gave us a meaning behind the new science of epigenetics. Environment influences cells. I go, this is absolutely true.
But then how come in biology of belief I talk about our mind and our perception controlling our genetics? If a cell is out in the environment, consider an amoeba moving through the environment. Indeed, all environmental influences are now going to affect the behavior and activity of that cell. But then I say, well, wait, do those cells actually see the real environment in which we're in? I go, no, the cells in your body are covered up by the skin, disconnected from the environment. But in order to survive, these cells have to adjust their genetics and their behavior to adapt and maintain their survival in a changing environment. So the question is, then how do the cells inside your body actually know what's going on in the real world, because they're not connected to it? I go, this is the role of the nervous system. The nervous system's job is to read environmental signals and then relay those signals into the cell. So as illustrated right here, we are getting signals from two different environments in our body. Signals from within our body as well as signals from without our body, and the function of the nervous system is to read both of these environments. The relevance is the nervous system reads the information in the environment and then translates it into signals that are sent to the 50 trillion cells inside your body to alert them to what is going on in that world. So in fact, that is a true statement. The environment is controlling the behavior of your cells. But the mind does an interpretation of those signals based on our life experiences. Now, for a lot of people, this seems difficult, but let's put it in a different context, because we can talk about computers. There's a very interesting fact about our brain as a computer, because it has an autocorrect mechanism built into the subconscious. Meaning what? Well, I can have my conscious mind like typing on the computer about what's going on in the world. But if I type something, that signal can be translated and sent to the cells. But if I type something that the subconscious has no recognition of, it will do like an autocorrect and change what I wrote to fit something that it thinks that I wrote as a subconscious. So I put in love and subconscious changes that to live. That's a whole different meaning at this point because of misinterpretation. So the point is, your wishes and desires of your conscious mind are filtered by the programs in your subconscious mind, and if you have a wish or desire that doesn't conform to a program that already exists, then the subconscious mind's job is to retranslate that into something that makes sense for the subconscious belief, not for the conscious. So we may have wonderful wishes and desires, and if it doesn't conform to the programs that we receive, the subconscious will change those into something it understands. To make sense out of what I just said, consider using your cell phone. That you write something in your cell phone, such as, let's put the word epigenetics in the cell phone. And I go, when I type epigenetics in, the database in the phone says, I don't know that word at all. And then what does it do? It throws up different options that could be closely related to epigenetics. And so the significance is, if I put something into my system that is not supported by the program, then the programming system will change whatever I did to accommodate what it believes is right. Now, the issue about this is, well, if I want to have epigenetics in my phone, then what I really have to do is open up my dictionary and add the word epigenetics. And now after that, anytime I write epigenetics, the phone mechanism will understand what I'm talking about. Well, going into the database and changing the program is the function of what energy psychology is all about. It says if your behavior is not conforming to your wishes and desires, then it will be necessary to go into your program and install new behaviors that you want to manifest. So now the brain will have a reflection or a resource of what you're talking about. So I really want to emphasize the nature of biology belief as different than the fact that just environment controls your genes. And I'll give you a very simple example of what I mean by that, by the fact that I can have two people in the very exact same environment, but each of these individuals has a totally different reaction to the environment. So if it was just environment that controlled your genes and your behavior, then both individuals should have exact same behavior. But the reality is no. the two people have different responses to the environment. I go, why? Same environment. But their minds have different interpretations. And it's the interpretation of the mind about that environment that is sent to the cells. So the important part is this. Yes, environment controls epigenetics. There's an external environment, but an internal environment. And yet recognize in humans, the internal environment is not a direct readout from the external world. It's an interpretation of that external world. And that's why each of us has a different response to the world in which we live. And that is why the biology of belief is an extension of the foundation that environment controls epigenetics.
So I think to summarize what Bruce is telling us is that this environment is so interesting, complex, and influential on every cell in our body. Because what he has done is used a high-powered microscope to view these cells for over half a century. That's the span of his career to discover epigenetics and the cells and the environment. And so now he has a message about the importance of protecting our environment. That's our mission, is to protect our environment. And so me as an empath, if you were on the Friday show, when I shared about a bathroom that was out of order, for me, that was like, okay, somebody's not protecting the environment. Somebody's not taking care of the environment. And what I discovered was that person who lived in that environment was depressed and stressed from work. There was a link to the condition of the environment and the mental state. As Bruce said, your mind is affecting your environment, your perspective on your environment. It's all coming from this programmed mind here. And our perspective on everything determines whether it's going to affect our body. If you have trash in your neighborhood and you're looking at that every time you leave your house, every time you walk downtown, you walk in the street and this trash is there, how does that affect? Does it affect you at all? Maybe it doesn't affect you. For me, I took it upon myself when I see trash on the street that I drive on to come back to this house in the neighborhood, I'm out there at least twice a week, maybe sometimes once a week, but at least once a week I walk. My walk includes taking plastic bags with me to pick up the trash because it affects me. I just can't stand to see trash on Mother Earth. So I hope that tonight you're going to metamorphosize into the trash patrol. And as we're having comments from our Facebook family, best programming on the planet, better to reprogram ourselves via the benefits of nature. Oh, is it in the biology of belief? Yes, he talks a lot about it in the biology of belief. And Our Monday morning host, Zelda, says, hi, Dr. V. So enjoying this phenomenal experience with Bruce Lipton, autocorrect brain. Love it. And I put the name of the link. It's Bruce Lipton, environment and epigenetics. And I think Zelda made a comment. She does not want to go on a boat ride across the Atlantic. Me, I'm with you on that one. Prefer a cruise or just sit under a tree. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's not for me, but for someone who takes that journey, it's worth it to listen to or read their book about it because we're not going to go there. And as he said in that, the small tweaks in our environment are what affects our mental state, our physical state. So I have another, I want to just bring in here for a minute feng shui. We're going to get back to Bruce, but I thought it's important to look at, since this is a global platform here, Soul Purpose Healing is a global platform, along with the Female Solution, every day of the week, The Female Solution, Blog Talk Radio, has a show with the most amazing hosts. And I like to go across the globe to bring guests and teachings that that help us understand our environment, not just in America, but this particular audio I'm going to play for you is about the practice of feng shui or feng shui. And feng shui teaches us how to arrange our internal environment so that we get the best energy, we get the best vibration, we get the best out of our environment. So I'm going to play just a short clip that helps us understand exactly what feng shui is. And if you're interested, you could, but this is an Oriental or an Eastern philosophy that if you're interested, this is definitely something that can help your internal environment in the way of helping you organize your environment or just improving the way you arrange your furniture. There's so many things that I love about feng shui. I don't practice it fully, but I do have a lot of friends who do practice feng shui. I have a few friends who practice feng shui. So here's a little clip just to give you a little taste of a foreign knowledge or a global knowledge of something that can be used anywhere, wherever you are. And taking advantage of it can actually bring you more peace in that environment. So here we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Clara's Feng Shui Cafe. In the past, I've created many videos about feng shui theories, principles, and practical case studies. But today, I want to bring you all back to the most fundamental question. What is feng shui? Feng shui, literally meaning wind and water, is all about the flow of qi or energy. Feng shui is a philosophy of studying the environment and the law of the universe. Nowadays, more and more people are interested in feng shui around the world. Many people like to consult feng shui masters to help enhancing their feng shui environment for their home, business, or office. Feng shui was based upon ancient Chinese observations of the sky and the earth. The central idea is about harmony between human and nature. Feng shui first appeared in China during the Warring States period, between 476 to 221 BC. At that time, it wasn't called feng shui, it was called kan yu. Kan means heaven, yu means earth. During the Jin Dynasty, a Chinese historian, poet, and writer called Guo Pu first coined the term feng shui in his book, The Book of Burial. He wrote, "Qi rides the wind and scatters, but is retained when encountering water. The ancients collected it to prevent its dissipation and guided it to assure its retention. This is feng shui." Around the 19th century, Chinese feng shui was introduced to Europe. Western scholars saw feng shui from the perspective of modern science and called it the Eastern Environmental Science. A German Protestant missionary, Ernest J. Eitel, during his 17 years in China, wrote many books about Chinese history and philosophy, one of which was called Feng Shui, or The Rudiments of Natural Science in China, originally published in 1873. There are many feng shui schools, but the two major schools are the Form School and the Compass School. The Form School, or the Landscape School, focuses on the existing forms in our surrounding landscape, such as mountains and rivers, and how they're affecting the feng shui of houses or tombs. The Compass School, on the other hand, focuses on Bagua, Luo Shu, and the relationships of the five elements. The Form School has three branches, including Luan Tou Pai, Xing Xiang Pai, Xing Fa Pai. And the Compass School has many more branches, such as Fei Xing Pai, Ba Zhai Pai, Qi Men Pai, and many more. In short, The Compass School is all about the internal feng shui environment, while the Form School is about the external feng shui environment. When analyzing feng shui, it's important that we consider both the external feng shui and internal feng shui as they complement each other. Although there are many different schools of feng shui, the basic principles remain the same, such as Ba Gua, yin and yang, the five elements, and the heavenly stems and earthly branches. In practical feng shui, you can choose a school that works best for you. Feng shui and Chinese Luopan compass goes hand in hand. It's a tool to measure directions accurately. The reason that Luopan looks so complicated and with so many different layers was because it has different feng shui schools combined all in one compass. But if you are a feng shui beginner, all you need to know for now is the Ba Gua map, the 24 mountains and directions, and the heavenly stems and earthly branches. If you'd like to learn more about feng shui, please give me a thumb up and subscribe to my channel.
All right, that was just a brief introduction to the Eastern philosophy of feng shui, which many of my friends have used and are still using that philosophy to set up their furniture in their home and to create a very peaceful environment. I have one friend who uses that in the most exact way. And when you walk into the front door, has a special geometric arrangement, and the flowers on the front of the house are arranged a certain way. And then you walk into the house, you can just feel the energy of peace and the energy of calm in that environment. So just thought I'd throw that in as we look on a global scale of things we can do to change our environment. So let's see, I don't see our executive producer yet, so I'm going to go to another commercial. I think I have another commercial somewhere in here, and we'll be right back after.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for a thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversation on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
And we're back. So I want to go into teaching by Sadhguru, my favorite Indian guru. And his teaching is about this one thing that will make the universe work for you. Because as we think about the butterfly and the chrysalis, the pupa, metamorphosis, this is an easy process. We are working in harmony with the universe. And that's what Sadhguru's teaching is, helping us to be in harmony and think about just one of the things that will help the universe work for us. We don't have to work so hard. So this is Sadhguru, the one thing that will make the whole universe work for us. Okay. There we go.
Living will happen. This is what I am promising people of all professions, no matter what, especially if you're artists. If you have problem with bread, you come to me. I will make sure you have a roof and a bread. the difference between this extrovert or introvert is, or what these two things are is, it's like mistaking your exhalation for inhalation and inhalation for exhalation. There is no such thing as extrovert or introvert. Do not classify people like that. Some people see that they need to act and reach out. Some people see there is not much need for that. So maybe they are not on the Twitter and Facebook and whatever. This doesn't mean they're introvert. They have a life of their own. We should not judge people like this. Every human being has a right to be whichever way they want. But now the question is, if I am not extrovert, will I be able to do things in the world? That's the main aspect of the question. See, your ability to do things is not because you want to do things. I want to do something is my desire. Desire is just an intention. An intention won't make things happen. An intention will only set direction. Still you have to make the journey, isn't it? Now, one important thing, especially because you're artist, you're not in business program or something like that, I think you should look at life like this. You must see how to enhance this one. Enhance this one means not blow up your ego in a big way. Enhance the life that you are. When I say life, I am talking about the life that you are. I am not talking about your body. I am not talking about the structure of your mind. I am not talking about, see, when people say life, you are supposed to decipher. They could be talking about their home, they could be talking about their relationship, they could be talking about their car or their dog or something. My life means something. I am not talking about that. I am talking about the life that you are. Are you alive? Are you really alive? Or just a bundle of thoughts, emotions, ideas, prejudices, opinions? Most people are just this. Because of that, we make conclusions. This is an introvert, this is an extrovert. Because without conclusion, you can't have a thought. You need conclusions and conclusions and conclusions about everything. Now I need to conclude, this is introvert, this is extrovert. Otherwise, my thought every time freaks, okay, who the hell is she? But human faculties are such, I don't have to conclude. I can just look. This moment, how she is, that's all that matters. Yesterday, how she was, doesn't matter, isn't it? And tomorrow, how she's going to be, you have no clue. Yes or no? Do not fix life, either yours or anybody else's. Do not fix it, because what you're calling as human life is a possibility. To make this possibility into your reality, you have to travel a distance. Do you have the courage and the commitment to travel the distance? That's all the question is. It doesn't matter what is your level of intelligence, what is your level of capability, introvert, extrovert, this, that, doesn't matter. Do you have the courage and commitment to make the possibility into your reality? That's all the question is. So, if you focus, whatever you're doing right now, it doesn't matter what it is. How simple an act you're doing right now, it doesn't matter. If you're absolutely devoted to that you're doing right now, depending upon various aspects, things will unfold. But because of Western influences, we become too goal-oriented. Goal-oriented means we are interested in the consequence, but we are not interested in the process. If you are not interested in the process, you should not be an artist. If you are not interested in the process, you should never design a building because it's going to land on somebody's head. Yes? Process is an end in itself. If you are absolutely devoted to the process, depending upon various aspects, something will come out. But now we are interested in the consequence. not in the process. This goal-orientedness, I want to get there, I want to get there. Where the hell do you want to get? No, I want to win the race. See, if you treat life as a race, if you have to win it, you have to get to the finish line soon, isn't it? You want to? Hello? If you get to the finish line ahead of all these people, you won the race. You know what the finish line is? We'll be negotiating where to bury you. So, particularly being in creative arts, don't ever think of a goal. What should I become? How should I be? What should I create? Don't worry about these things. If you're devoted to the process, something will come out. Something more beautiful than you imagined will happen because you're devoted to the process. Without devotion. I'm specifically using the word devotion because people think devotion means going to the temple, church or mosque. No. Without devotion, either in sport, art, music, spirituality, politics, business, anything, any arena of life, has anybody done anything truly significant without being absolutely devoted to what they're doing? Have they? No. Mediocre things you can do. So do not think of art and aesthetics as a way to earn a living. Living will happen. Living will happen. This is what I am promising people of all professions, no matter what, especially if you're an artist. If you have a problem with bread, you come to me. I will make sure you have a roof and a bread. Only thing I want to see is you're focused on something. I don't care what. Nothing came out of your focus. I don't care. But I want to see you focused on something. I can't stand unfocused people. That's all. I'm making an open-ended offer. Anybody who's worrying about bread, you just come to me. I'll make sure you eat for the rest of your life and you have a place to stay. But I want to see you at least 12 hours a day focused on something, whatever the damn thing is. I won't ask you what you're focused on, but I want to see you focused. Because if a human being stays focused on something, inevitably it'll yield. How can it not yield? The universe will yield to you if you are focused.
So whether in India or some other place on this globe, I think what Sadhguru is reminding us is to slow down and enjoy the process. And stay focused. And I wonder how many of you are focused on changing your environment. Does your environment need changing? That might be the question to ask. And what is your what are your thoughts about your own in your neighborhood, your body? Is there something inside your body? Because your environment inside this temple that our soul dwells in is going to determine whether you're going to be able to make a difference in the external environment. So Bruce Lipton says, our mission is to protect the environment. Are you able to do that? So we're going to just listen to this, I think this is my last audio, on how Bruce Lipton lays out our mission. And this is where, why we're doing this this show tonight, changing our environment so that we can transform into this butterfly in 2023. Our mission is to transform. That's the message that came to me, and I'm sharing that with you, that those monarch butterflies were on the altar, and yet they woke up. They woke up because that's a possibility, even if you've been depressed or sad. And it takes a lot of love for your body and for your environment. So let's listen to another message by Bruce on what our true mission is.
have talked extensively about humanity getting right now very close to the sixth mass extinction. Are there any ways that we can escape from falling off the cliff?
Yes, because we finally have become aware of why are we facing a mass extinction. Now, there have been five mass extinctions in history, meaning life was going strong, life was thriving, and then something happened, boom, life ended. The five earlier ones, they say things like a comet hit the Earth, or the world was in a geological activity, volcanoes and earthquakes, and it wiped out life. Today, science says we're in a sixth mass extinction, and it says that because every day we're losing more species of life on this planet than we lost in the mass extinctions that were earlier. I said, well, then how come we're losing all these animals and plants? Why are they going extinct? And the answer is because human behavior is upsetting the environment. They have something called the web of life, where all life is interconnected. But with human behavior, changing the environment, polluting the sea, polluting the air, putting chemistry into the ground that doesn't belong there, we are destroying the foundation on which that web of life lives. And as you destroy the foundation, then the web of life collapses. So we are now in a state of collapse, losing many species every day. And so we say, but what's causing it? I said, well, human behavior. And I said, why is that relevant? Because if we're causing it, we're the ones that could stop it. But we have to own that we are the ones involved. And if we do that, then we will have responsibility to change the way we're living so that we don't destroy the environment, but we support the environment. And it's very interesting because the ancient people who lived on this planet, they saw the world as a garden. And they said, we are gardeners. So the ancient people didn't go out and destroy the environment. They went out and helped and supported the environment. That is actually the mission of humans, even though we don't know that in our consciousness, that we didn't get here by accident. We got here through the design of nature to keep harmony. And we're so powerful in that control that without the knowledge of that's what our job is, that power has been misused. And rather supporting the environment, that power is now destroying the environment. Well, you say, well, that, oh my goodness, the environment's going. I go, no, when the environment goes, we go. Yeah. And this is what we have to wake up to. And so all of a sudden, we can't blame nature, the stars, and anything else for the problem. We have to own that we are the cause of the problem. But then it's very positive, because if we know we're the cause of the problem, then we also know we can change the problem.
Loving the earth? Are you struggling with loving yourself, more important? Because my experience this past week was that people fall out of love with themselves first before they start neglecting their environment. They're not loving themselves. And one of the contributors to this lack of love for self is, interestingly enough, I think the cell phone. People get so caught up in their cell phone and observing other individuals' selfies and the electronics and so caught up in having likes and connecting with other people that we neglect to love ourselves. So I wanted us to do a little meditation so that we start to think about all that we've listened to this evening about our environment and changing ourselves and our life. And let's just take some time to close your eyes and breathe in and out, inhaling, exhaling, and focusing on how can you change your environment where you live and especially change your own body if there's a need for change. How do you know there's a need for change? Well, pain is one thing. If you've been in pain, if you've had headaches, if you've had indigestion, any signs that your body is talking to you is a communication from your body that there's a need to change something maybe. And even if it's just to be still and focus on breathing. So let's do that together. Do some breathing in and out to earth my body, water my blood. Just inhaling.
Earth my body, water my blood. Air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood. Air my breath and fire my spirit. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves. I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bones. I trust they will lead me home. Carry grief on my wings. I know a caged bird sings. Through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother's with. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here, the rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind, I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds, we need to listen. Earth, my body, water,
earth, my body,
air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my spirit.
Earth, my body,
earth, my body,
water, my life.
Air, my breath, and fire, my spirit.
Breathe in. Breathe in. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Exhale. Breathe in. Hold it, hold it, hold it. And exhale. How does that feel for you? Are you used to doing deep breathing? Because deep breathing is worship in my mind and in my experience. I don't go to a church building anymore and sit and listen to a sermon. My choice, like Zelda mentioned, is to either sit under a tree or go to a park and walk around and do deep breathing and admire the trees and the birds and listen to the voice of the Most High. In a silent moment, you can hear what the Creator is saying to you. So we've got a caller with the hand up, I believe. That's Mama AZ. Your mic is open. Welcome, sister. How are you this evening?
Dr. V, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You sound really well. How are you doing?
It would be have to be a whole show. I am so grateful to be on this side of the dirt. And thank us for this show. I give thanks to Brother Kwame Sunhorse confirming something major. I give thanks to Sagaru. I've been rolling with Sagaru. Oh, God, ages ago when I lived in North Carolina, I was introduced, not personally, but by another sister, Brenda Williams. Anyway, Dr. V, I sent you a picture. Did you get it?
Of the Godfather, yes.
Well, that Godfather has... Ma'am?
I said, what's going on with that big thing?
Okay. When I went to get, when I was gifted while I was in Divine Gables, I call it the Gables Resort in the nursing home, recuperating, Davida, going to be a part of your show, Davida Lewis. She
yes.
and Dr. Stanley swooped me up from the nursing home and got me to the Tachyon place. To get a treatment in Sedona, Arizona. Well, as we were leaving, Davida radar in on that Godfather. And we got it in the car and went camping up in the Grand Canyon at the camping spot. And then we brought it back to Devon Gables from Sedona or from the camping spot in Flagstaff. Well, that Godfather about a month ago, maybe even a little bit longer, started coming to me in dreams and talking to me, telling me, come and get me, come and get me, come and get me. And you know what, Dr. V, I said to that Godfather, I said, listen here, if you want to come on over here to be a part of this ceremony in Miracle Valley, Arizona, you're going to have to bring forth, like you've always done, the angels to help transport you so that I can get to you. That's exactly what happened. Dr. V, I have been journeying with that Godfather that was I Spy by Davida. And that Godfather has been giving me so many downloads, and it has changed my vibrations like you would not believe. Last night, I went to the ER, and this is another show, but when I got back, the cab let me out by that Godfather, and I put my feet on that Godfather and looked at the moon, dome. The Godfather started talking to me. I kid you not. It's like, you take me to the stronghold. We must do a ceremony. And I just didn't really understand it until Brother Kwame said something. And Sagaru, are you about your business or being committed? And I found a way to put that Godfather on my chair with my arms. I kid you not. And now that Godfather, when you were playing that feng shui, I put it in the shower. I rolled my chair. It was on the chair. I rolled my chair up in the bathroom to close to the shower. And I say, look, if you want to be in here, you've got to lighten your load. And I'd be darned if that Godfather didn't lighten the load. And I slid it off the chair and slid it in the shower. And it'll be there until it's time to go to the stronghold to do some earthing. And I told that Godfather, I said, we got to be about our business to change the energies, because this week coming up, you know, is going to be very powerful. And hopefully Brother Kwame can expound on that, because we're going to the stronghold. And I don't know who, but I'm calling forth. The medical system can't do a whole lot. They done screwed up. And when they sent the police out here to do a welfare check with me day before yesterday, the people told them that I was crazy. And they called the police, and the police, I swear to God, this is a true story. The police came, and I told them, I said, sir, are you talking to a crazy woman? I said, no, they're concerned because their driver did not tie my chair down. And I took a roll and ended up in between my chair and the wheel. So what I think they're doing is trying to prove evidence that you got a psychotic schizophrenic woman here. And so anyway, that stone told me, I kid you not, family, don't even trip about it, because we are going to do ceremony, and this is your time to bring forth teachings about earthing and healing of the earth. No matter how your body is responding right now, we are going to take care of that. I heard that right after Brother Kwame said what he said. That stone said, get me in the shower. Now, yeah. I'm not kidding you.
If he wants to tell that, me.
That's why I sent that picture to you. And I'll send it to Brother Kwame too, because we have got to get back to the earth, family, and we have got to be committed no matter what people talk about us or say about us. And they're always talking, even at the hospital in the ER. They got me in and out quick. Within 3 hours, I was in and out of there. That was unusual. Period. Because they didn't want to deal with me. But that's okay.
Yeah. Okay, we got 434-996. Your mic is open.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah,
hi, how
calling?
You doing?
Good,
Khalil,
how are you?
Charles, how are you? Pretty good.
And what's your comment? What would you give us your name again?
Khalil Reed. From Charlottesville, Virginia.
Charlottesville, Virginia. It's kind of chilly up there, huh?
Yep.
Okay, so what's your comment, Bill?
One of the comments is sometimes when we have anxiety, is it all for bring this up?
Yeah, go ahead. We're talking about changing our environment, changing our life. And so, as I was saying earlier, if you're recognizing anything in your body, your mind, your spirit, your body is trying to tell you that maybe something needs to change. So how can go ahead with your comment.
Well, like sometimes what I do is I change my, like I leave somewhere if I know like I go somewhere where people will actually help me, or if I go to a place in my mind sometimes where I can calm myself down and keep my thoughts positive. That's what I do. And whether it's,
I said excellent.
And even like when I go, like let's say I'm out in the street and I'm anxious, sometimes I'll go where people, either it's first responders or people I can read or people I know that will help me, and they'll help me out, and people that do it because they care.
Yeah.
And one of the things I found out is some people, Charlottesville, Virginia is not too big, but I found out that some of the people that work, like let's say you go to the mall and you have anxiety, the security guards there, they will help you out. And a lot of them are CIT trained, which is crisis intervention team, which is like basically you have a bunch of experience with like crisis situations. And a lot of them, not only are they crisis intervention team, but they like have military law enforcement and firefighter experience and EMT experience. I found that out. So they can help you with your anxiety. Now,
Khalil, do you practice deep breathing at all?
Sometimes I do. And usually when I practice it, it's usually someone walks me through it. But if I don't get that, I just try to do something different that helps me out. That's like somewhere, like I lay down on my back and then I think about something positive.
Okay, great, great. Well, I'm glad that you're becoming conscious of the need to change. That's what this show is all about, changing your environment. When you recognize that your body is out of balance, then you want to make the decision to change something. I want to highly recommend that you go to YouTube and learn how to do deep breathing in every situation that you're uncomfortable with, that you're anxious about. That will calm you down and change your internal environment faster than any drug or pill that you could think of. And if you keep that up, if you practice it every day, especially outside in nature, then it'll become easier for you when you get into a stressful situation. You'll immediately turn to deep breathing, pause. That's what we were talking earlier about, how the butterfly transforms into, or the caterpillar transforms into a beautiful butterfly. And that process involves a time of quiet, transformation.
Okay.
So thank you so much for your comment, and we wish you well in all that you do. And let's stay conscious about even your city, your street, to start keeping that city clean from trash. So we've got another call going to open up, 773-734.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for the show. I wanted to just first talk about like the environment thing. Thank you. I learned tonight about the compass part, which to me kind of dealt with location. I just came back from a trip from New Orleans, and I went to see family, and I went on the train. But when I was in Chicago, you know, I deal with joint inflammation and being stiff, so I usually have to, like, either carry a cane or something or get some type of transport back and forth when I travel. But the minute I went to New Orleans and I got off of the train, I noticed that I could walk differently. I was like, wait a minute, like, I was mentally used to the pain, so the environment there was different. By the time I came back home and got through Mississippi, I don't know if it was psychological, but my body began to tense up, I guess, weather-wise. So I thought about, like, how environment for just people knowing where you are, you know, where the environment is good for you. And then I wanted to add about, like, the parts of the home. Like, I started noticing my plants and saying when my plants got dry or dry at the tips, I'm like, you know, this plant is a reflection of me. Everything in this house is a reflection of me. So when the plant is dry and semi-dying, then that means to me something in me needs to either get nourished or be fertilized, like even something as good as a hug. Like, you know, because I know the deep breathing is excellent, and thank you for always reminding us of that. I also, like, always think about touch because you talked about being in a social age where we're, like, so looking for touch through the phone. So that touch is missing. What are you in love with? Just to get a hug is almost like something that makes your heart beat faster. So I just wanted to add that on environment tonight.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. And what's your name?
I'm Laurel, Laurel Jones.
Oh, Laurel. I thought that was your voice. I wasn't sure. Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
As this travel, there's so many topics in the environment that it really does pay to take a lot of vitamin C with you when you're traveling. And to, as you say, be aware that the environment and practice that breathing, because that will adjust your body temperature, circulation, if you are that's what's going on. So thank you for sharing. Glad you had a safe travel.
Yeah, thank you.
So let me go to another caller. 111111, your name. One 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 one. Your mic is open. Did you have a comment? Okay. I know Mama AZ was talking about what's going on in our cosmic universe this week. Kwame, your mic is open. Can you share with us a little bit about what we're going to be feeling from a higher source of energy?
Well, and thank Mama AZ and greetings to your guests that's listening. We're having a lunar eclipse on May the 5th, and we've had the solar, and now we're having the lunar, which will be in Scorpio. And also we have Mercury, Pluto is going retrograde, Mercury's gone retrograde. So we have these energies of shifting, of going back. And this is what the energies of retrograde means, in a sense that we're getting another opportunity to recheck ourselves as to what we have done and moving forward and what we need to do and letting go and releasing certain things. So it's very important because the above has a great effect on what we do here. And I know the sister was talking about when she went to Louisiana. And, you know, the thing that happens is that we travel on these earth grids, and there's different energies that flow in the earth, that if in Chicago, there's a different frequency of grid, because each time you change your degrees, like I say, at 33 degrees latitude, 88 degrees longitude. And so what you have is you're on a grid, and when you relocate to certain areas, like I'm getting ready to go to Arizona, and that's going to be the grid there in Phoenix and Sedona and going to the Grand Canyon, I know there's a different iron and energy that I'm going to be in. So it's overstanding to be there.
You're asking me a question. I've been to a lot of parts of the United States, but under the GOV. So it depends, because some of the work is very dangerous, right, because you're serving. So every time that I go, once I need a call, my mother would get government stating that I want to be going to Alabama or whatever, because again, when went to Louisiana and it was flooding, the people got FMA trailers. They were very horrible, like so ghetto trailer screaming. And it's the government's fault that the Katrina came, all this stuff. And so San Antonio, I would say it's ghetto, certain, only very few, but not to the extreme of the ghetto-ness like what I saw in Louisiana, where the people, they were flooding. They're in a FEMA trailer, FEMA, right? Heard them pay. Having a badge, I was told the most ugly stuff. They got naked. That is their American right to be naked. And my partner showed them the badge. You know, first of all, they didn't care. They threw the finger. Females naked. And that they can have 50 people in the trailer because if they want to, just remember to see in the trailer because Louisiana has flood zone.
Okay, this is 1111. Right. Can you give us, what's your name? What's your name?
Hello?
Yeah, what's your name?
Melissa, Arizona.
Melissa.
Arizona.
You're in Louisiana?
Yes.
So did you have a particular question, or are you just sharing your experience?
What the gentleman was saying is true, because Louisiana, if he would have come, he would experience a whole different value. But I have a quick question. I have a job that I've been there for over 4 years, and I want to know if I'm going to get fired or I'm going to come back to work.
You're asking us if you're going to get fired or come back to work?
Yeah, am I getting fired? Like, I got beginning suspension.
So what is your situation? We really probably can't really address that except to suggest that you spend some time in prayer, meditation or quiet time to hear from angel guides or from spirit what is going on in your life, because we don't really know. I don't know what's going on in your life. I was just trying to hear your voice. It's kind of hard to hear your voice clearly, but it sounds like you're struggling a little bit in your residence. Are you in the trailer? Is that what we're hearing? You're in the trailer with a lot of people?
No, I mean, my friend is. Disregard that conversation. It was one of my friends talking to me where I was, she came to me where I was waiting in line. So, no, that's not for me. That's her. That's her situation, not mine. But thank you for asking.
So why is your job threatening to be lost? Or I'm not sure what you were saying. What's going on with your job?
Well, there was a customer who made a complaint, but the customer lied, and they have to investigate it. Yeah, I'm not worried. Why am I worried about it? Because I've been there for over 4 years, and they never done that before. And I'm just wondering if the suspension is going to lead to getting fired, or maybe I'm going to not work for a month for punishment. I don't know. Nothing bad happened. It was just this lady who was really being aggressive, and I didn't engage. I went to get higher up, higher than me.
So you're working in retail then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So we want you to be sure, let's see, she said, be sure and tune in tomorrow, Monday morning, Michael Zeld. We're not profit so much as we are here to give you some information and advice on life. And from what I'm hearing is that you might want to just spend more time in nature, more time in meditation. Do you have a routine that you do where you read and meditate and do deep breathing?
Yeah, I do read a lot. I think I'm going to spend more time in nature. because today after what happened, I went for a walk for 4 hours and I feel a lot calmer. And you were 100% right. I found a way to find some inner guidance for myself. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, because whatever happens, you want to have peace about it. You want to respond every circumstance in life.
Yes,
you want to be able to respond and not react. And you can respond more than react with anger or bitterness or resentment. When you are you have a practice in nature and breathing and stretching my mind, yoga and meditation. And if you have a regular practice where you're in an environment that is clean and healthy and peaceful, then when things like this happen in your life, you don't have to react and go into stress mode. You become a conscious individual that responds to every circumstance, and you're content in every circumstance. When you practice, when you have a practice like breathing, deep breathing, meditating, and nature walking. So good for you that you're taking a walk and you're quiet and you're off your phone. Get off your phone and you listen, look at the birds and watch. In my case, I have two monarch butterflies show up, but clear signs of staying in peace and watching the sign. So I hope that helps you. Just keep listening. And Kwame, Mama AZ, did you have anything you want to add? We're about a minute from saying goodbye.
I was on mute.
Oh, no. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
No, Dr. V, I'm just grateful that I've gotten some very solid clarification. Thank you for this show. Thank us. And
yeah,
Brother Kwame.
Thank you so much for
okay.
Yeah.
Thank
okay,
us, Brother Kwame. And did I hear you say, Brother Kwame, you're coming to Arizona? Is that the Star Knowledge program?
No, I've got to go to graduation University of Phoenix on Wednesday. So I'm coming out to graduation.
Okay, I didn't hear that. I'll just call you later, if that's okay.
All right.
Thank us.
Thank us.
All right, so this is going to be another powerful, energetic week, 1 week at a time, because the planet's always doing something. So thank you, Brother Kwame, for the update and information that you're sending me with. I'm going to listen to that astrology forecast. And I would encourage all of you just be aware that we are coming into, as we said, a lunar eclipse. And that means you might be feeling different. You might be thinking about things. Things may come to you in a special way, like butterflies, or if you are in touch or in focusing on, as we heard, stay focused. Stay focused on something that is going to help your life for the best. And don't just be out, loose and free and listening to other people's bad advice or watching other superstars. Stay focused on your own energy and what you're here to do. And then make the appropriate changes as you need to when your body's speaking to you or when nature is speaking to you. So please tune in tomorrow morning. Meditation is the link for Zelda Monday Morning Mindfulness. Her topic is, what does Jerry Springer and Forrest Gump have in common? You want to tune in, and this is going to be a great show with lots of information. And, of course, every Monday morning, Zelda leads us in a very beautiful meditation and breathing. So thank you all for coming. That's tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We want to continue our practice of changing our environment and changing our life by changing yourself first. Fly first, love yourself. That's the call every day. That's the call every day. First, let me wake up in the morning. I start my morning with, when I wake up, I do start doing deep breathing right away, even before I get out of bed, because you've been shallow breathing all night. So your body wants more oxygen when you wake up. And then if you can, do your joint rolling in bed. I keep my meditation books by the bed. Sometimes I just lay there and meditate. And then I do more breathing. And then prayer. I spend my time in bed praying or talking to the universe, to the Most High, creator of the universe, and giving thanks. Gratitude, gratitude, and more gratitude is always a good way to start changing your environment, which will change your life. You're going to influence your life, conscious state of mind, being aware that everything you say and do is going to have an impact in a positive way. In a positive,
we've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com. /the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie.
Xiexie.
Zanyaba. Japan. Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jerez. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.